Welcome to The Source. This is Texas Public Radio. I'm Paul Flav in for David Martin Davies. 190,000 people have crossed our southern border so far this year, surpassing our 2013 numbers already, with months to go. Of those, tens of thousands, nearly 40,000 unaccompanied minors in the Rio Grande alone. So many that here in Lackland Air Force Base, they have set up a detention area to deal with the overflow. The response from the Obama administration has been to announce new funding to programs in Honduras, El Salvador, and other countries that these families are fleeing in order to abate the violence. In addition, more enforcement and more detention centers were announced. The state of Texas has increased funding to DPS to better stop the flow, but is this enough? Is it the right move? And what else could be done? Are we talking about the influx of people, some running from violence, and the state of Texas and the feds are reacting to it? That's what our topic here on The Source today. Are we too enforcement-based, ignoring the humanitarian side of things? What do you think? 210-614-8980 is our number to weigh in. Joining us to talk about this, Mark Jones, chair of the Political Science Department at Rice University. Professor Jones, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So just yesterday, Attorney General Greg Abbott and Senator Ted Cruz toured the Lackland facility. I think we have a clip from that.
When the President of the United States announces to the world amnesty for those who have broken the law, the consequence is people respond to that. And the way they've responded is by sending their children and handing their children over to drug dealers and vicious cartels.
Senator Ted Cruz, never shy. Mark, I'm interested in your take on the statement equating the deferred action for childhood arrivals order with this significant spike in children going from about a ninth of what we see this year. And what's your reaction to comments like Senator Cruz's? It's one that's getting echoed in a lot of different areas at the national scene.
Well, I think that's mostly hyperbole. It's tough to make some type of causal linkage between the president's approval of deferred action for children who were brought here in the past and the current state where parents are either sending their children alone or actually in many cases requesting they be sent alone or accompanying them. I think we're looking at two very different phenomena that aren't all that linked.
And tell us, what are the other kind of things that could be contributing to this?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have a great deal of poverty as well as gang violence in Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, where the majority of these children as well and their parents are coming from. So that's the push factor from there. Another factor is our broken immigration system, where we have approximately 2 to 3 million undocumented Central Americans, or in many cases, people with where you have one parent documented, another undocumented, whose children are still in Central America. And what we're attempting to occur here is they're trying to be reunited with their parents. And the fact that we have a broken immigration system where these undocumented Central Americans who live in the United States have no way to return home or to at least to visit their children, the result is that they're often having them sent here and they're using smugglers to bring them here, which is in part is helping to fuel this crisis down on the border.
I want to get to the impact that this series of events is having on the larger debate around immigration reform. But the Obama administration has called for more funding to anti-violence programs in some of these countries you've mentioned, Honduras and El Salvador. And I was just wondering what, if anything, are the hopes for that funding?
Well, there is some funding being sent there, but it's a drop in the bucket. When you look at the crisis and the serious nature of crime, violence, and poverty in these countries, the amount the Obama administration is talking about is peanuts. It's not going to have any real discernible effect. But I think we've really gotten to a situation where our immigration system is broken, and it's also become a political football with Republicans exploiting immigration crises for political advantage, and the Obama administration and Democrats exploiting immigration issues for political gain as well.
So now we've got a real humanitarian issue going on here in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico, and is it having any impact other than finger-pointing at the national level, in your opinion?
Unfortunately, I don't think it is. I think what we're seeing is each side is using it to its own advantage. And in many ways, I think the Republicans have some of the advantage on this issue because the crisis is in part the result of problems that the Obama administration has created for itself, both in terms of enforcement, but also in terms of just operations. And so it's really something that I think Republicans are going to be able to use to hammer on the Obama administration, just as the Obama administration has often used the anti-Hispanic and anti-immigrant rhetoric coming out of the Republican state legislatures in places like Arizona for political gain as well.
I want to take a few calls while we wait for James Harrington to arrive. We've got Chris. He volunteered in Guatemala. Chris, what was your impression of Guatemala when you were there for the youth?
Well, I volunteered in Mexico and Guatemala, and I think that part of the problem is that there's really no drive to succeed, partially because of the cartels. You know that if you succeed and you become successful, then you know that the cartels are going to be knocking on the door for their cut. And then by the time that they leave to try and escape some of the violence, they come here and they try and stay under the radar, and there's no drive to succeed here because they know that if they get onto the radar and they succeed, they
I think we get it, Chris. Thanks for calling in. Rule of law not going super well in some of these countries we're talking about, I think, was his point, Mark Jones, and the money that Obama is sending to kind of try and reinforce those things, not enough according to what we've talked about already.
Well, and I think much of the Obama administration money is actually going to help the Central American countries repatriate people more than actually address the underlying problems that are fueling the crisis. So there's money perhaps to fly people down and process them and get them to wherever they live within the country and provide them perhaps with some spending cash for the first few weeks. But there isn't money that's addressing the underlying crises of poverty, a lack of education, and the near absence of the rule of law in all three of the Northern Triangle countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras.
Now, President Obama has deported more than any other president, nearly 2 million people at this point, and gotten quite a bit of flack from his own party on this. Is that getting overlooked in these countries where they are fleeing to the United States? Is that a problem of messaging as much as it is of policy?
Well, I think that message has been received in Mexico, where we're seeing less migration than we have in the past. But in Central America, it's people are just weighing the balance, and things are still sufficiently bad there that many migrants are willing to traverse Mexico, which is extremely dangerous for immigrants. They actually, the safest place for an immigrant is when they cross the U.S. border. They're much less likely to be exploited by criminal gangs or the actual police, as is the case in Mexico. But things are sufficiently bad that people are still willing to take these types of risks.
We're talking about the southern border and our surge of immigrants coming across it, what can be done to help to abate violence in their own countries as well as to speed the transition from one country to the other. We're going to be bringing in James Harrington from the Texas Civil Rights Project after this break. We're talking to Mark Jones from Rice University. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You can call in with your comments, 210-614-8980. We're going to take a quick break. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Paul Flav. You're listening to Texas Public Radio. I'm in for David Martin Davies, who actually is in Honduras currently, so hopefully he will have some stories to tell when he gets back from that reporting on site next week when he returns. I'm talking to Mark Jones from Rice University, and I want to bring in James Harrington from the Texas Civil Rights Project. James, the state of Texas has come out with a proposal to increase funding by $1.3 million to put more DPS officers on the border, and your organization had a fairly strong condemnation of that effort. I wanted to find out why.
Well, putting more people on the border, as we've seen over the years, isn't going to stop the influx of people. People are coming, as the professor was saying earlier, coming because of economic reasons and because of crime. And simply throwing more people on the border isn't going to stop that. I mean, we have to really get to the root cause of what's causing the migration. And we'd have a lot better success if we spent the $1.3 million a week investing in the companies, in the countries where the people are coming from. And we might have a lot better result in terms of immigration policy. The other part of this, though, the other thing that just appalled me about what the governor did is that there was no care or concern about all these kids, these 47,000 or however many we now have in the state. No call upon churches, no call upon civic institutions or organizations to help provide for them. You know, it was, to me, it was a very crass kind of political ploy. I mean, it is true, obviously, that we have to do a better job with the border, but, man, when you got all these kids here, you know, you don't want, they shouldn't become a political football, and we ought to be treating them humanely. I just saw a total lack of leadership from the governor on this.
Has the lens of immigration reform clouded the debate about whether this is as much a humanitarian issue as it is a security issue? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 210-614-8980. I'm interested in your response to that question yourself, James. Do you think that this ramp up of immigration reform, stalled talks for the last 18 months, 2 years, 10 years, has kind of made us a little more caustic and casual about what goes on down there?
I think that's correct. I think there's been really sort of a caustic hardening of this debate that has gone on, and we've lost the humanitarian part of this. And it's almost as if these folks aren't human, and it's almost as if they just come to the country, you know, get up and decide to come to the country because they want to. I mean, economic necessity and crime. I mean, Honduras is awful right now. It's one of the worst places to be in the world in terms of crime and violence. And people get up and they have to leave for these reasons. And for us not to recognize that, I just think doesn't make any sense. It does not make any sense just to say we're going to put more patrols on the border. That hasn't worked.
Mark,
as pointed out, Obama has deported more people than any other president. At a rate faster than any other president. That doesn't work.
Mark Jones, same question to you. Has the kind of the oversaturation of this conversation kind of had an effect on how we view this issue?
Well, I think it does, I think, highlight the human element that often is missing from this debate, in that you have real people who are having their lives adversely affected by our broken immigration system. And we often focus on the 11-12 million undocumented immigrants here in the United States, the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people whose family members have been deported by the Obama administration, and then also these children who are now on the border. And we see that there is a human consequence and a real human element here that's often missing, and I think often gets overlooked, particularly when we get into our political posturing mode, where Republicans are adamant about no reform until the border is secure, and Democrats refuse to compromise on issues such as, say, a pathway to citizenship. And this is one of the human consequences of this broken immigration system that's due to the inability of our leaders in Washington, D.C. to broker some type of mediated settlement.
I want to get to some of our calls. David's called in. David, you are on the air. What's your take on this?
I think that one of the biggest contributing factors to this whole problem that nobody seems to be talking about in politics or in the media is our drug policy in the country. And, you know, by creating, by making drugs like marijuana illegal, we're basically creating a prohibition-era-style money flow to these cartels and creating, like, a horrible, horrible situation in these countries. Especially, you know, you look at Mexico, our military personnel are still banned from going within 50 miles of the southern side of the border. So the government knows that this violence is occurring and it's a problem. I think that, you know, when you look at any other place in the world, you have, we would call these people refugees. That would be the title that we would give them. But here, you know, from our privileged place, we're calling them illegals. And it's almost as if they're coming to this country, or people are under the impression that they come to this country to exploit us, when on the flip side, they're coming to this country to escape, you know, like mass murder and, you know, extreme poverty, you know. So it just, our lack of compassion, especially in the state of Texas, it's offensive. It's really horrible. It's a horrible thing that.
All right, David, doing. Thanks so much for your call. James Harrington, I think you were touching on some of that in what you had to say about our hardening.
Well, Yeah, I mean, that's precisely it. You know, there's, I like that analogy, and we're really looking more at refugees than we are at people just migrating. I mean, people are fleeing their homes. They're fleeing their enormous poverty they have. We've seen the breakdown of infrastructure that's in the rural areas that's necessary to support small economies. And like I was saying, if you really want to be realistic about this, I would. You could invest that $1.3 million that Rick Perry wants to spend per week with these communities and have a better result.
Now, Mark Jones, go ahead, James.
One thing I did want to disagree with the professor on, though, is that there has been a compromise immigration bill that has passed, and it's tied up by a few people in the House. So you have a compromise bill that Democrats and Republicans have agreed on and have passed, but it won't even it's not even brought up for debate in the House because of a small minority of the Republican Party that want to negotiate it. So it's, you know, there's a lot of effort been put into it, but I don't think it's fair to say that both parties are to blame at this juncture.
Well, rather than get into the finger pointing that we have heard so much in the last few weeks, I did want to touch on one of the other things that David had said with you, Mark Jones. Drug policy and the Latin America, any thoughts on how these three countries in particular have been affected and maybe some bad actors have been propped up?
Well, it's clearly the case that the U.S. drug market helps fuel much of the crisis that we see in Mexico, as well as in the rise of the cartels and criminal gangs in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. And so it's our consumption of drugs that provides the dollars and incentives for the illegal activity in those countries. And so until we get a handle on our drug problem, it's going to be difficult for those countries to live in the type of peace that they desire. Now, in terms of legalization, that's I think we're moving in those steps in the area of marijuana. I think it's less likely that we're going to see that with other drugs, such as heroin and cocaine.
I did want to get to another call. Elizabeth has called in. Elizabeth, it looks like you have a question about what's there going on to protect folks in the country here. What's your question?
Yes, hi. I was wondering if anybody has thought about the preventive medicine aspects, because these kids are coming from countries that have endemic malaria, Chagas, and in the case of dengue in Honduras, I believe it's an epidemic. So I was wondering if there are any plans in place to screen these kids and treat them to protect the local populations.
That's a great question. Thanks so much, Elizabeth. Mark, have you heard anything? I know we will actually be covering this a little bit in the next segment of the show when we let Mark and James go, but to talk about some public health issues. But have you heard anything about what's being done for preventative medicine with these populations?
I think thus far the authorities are sufficiently overwhelmed that they aren't able to do much, and other than sort of give a quick look at children to see if they are sick or not. So right now there's nothing that's really being done, though I think some people are talking about trying to spend more money and effort to actually make sure that there isn't, not only is there aren't there children with contagious diseases, and if they are, isolate them, but also to improve the living conditions, because the living conditions are so horrendous that you have large numbers of children who are healthy but may become sick, not due to any disease that they had when they crossed the border, but to something that they picked up while here in the United States.
James Harrington, have you heard anything from Texas officials or nonprofits that would indicate that the quality of care in these areas is a priority?
Yeah, I think that is a great concern, and there has been a movement toward vaccination and that kind of stuff with the kids. I think they're very much aware of it, and they're very much aware of the compounding effect of the kids living so close together. The question I think that's really pressing is, you know, there's a lot of these people move into settlement houses and shelters and then try to move them into their families or temporary foster families. The more serious problem in terms of dealing with the overcrowding that's going on in the government's effort to go to it. But they are significantly aware of the disease issue for sure and where people are coming from.
Homeland Security Chief Jay Johnson vowed to send more federal resources to the border, more detention, more immigration lawyers and judges to expedite the situation. What kind of impact do you think that will have on the situation, Mark Jones?
Well, I think certainly having more judges and having a fix to the broken immigration system, and particularly the broken judicial system, whereby people are often released and told to come back in 2 to 3 years. I've been involved in some cases recently where the court dates are scheduled. When a judge is sick, she misses the court date, and it's scheduled for 18 months in the future. So that certainly is a situation where more federal funds are desperately needed if the goal is to actually repatriate people. Because right now we're completely overwhelmed, and this is in part due to a lack of investment in the Border Patrol and Border Security. Although I think, you know, in contrast to some of the things coming out of Austin and Rick Perry's office, it is crucial to note that the border is more secure now than it's been in virtually any time in U.S. history. That is, in terms of the number of people on the ground and the number and the technology that we have there. So it's not a case that the border is insufficiently secure. It's that we have this massive humanitarian crisis south of the border that's pushing people northward.
James Harrington, any final thoughts?
No, I totally agree. You know, that this is a humanitarian crisis. I don't think, likewise, that just processing people through the system is going to solve any problems. I mean, these are all young folks, and we're going to continue to see this influx as long as we have these crime victim situations going on in these countries. And, you know, the economic situation where people essentially, as David said earlier, are refugees from their country.
James Harrington, director of this Texas Civil Rights Project, thanks for joining us.
No, you're quite welcome.
Mark Jones, chair of the Political Science Department at Rice University, thank you as well.
No, thank you very much.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about the potential for a public health problem as a result of the unvaccinated folks that have crossed the border. I'm Paul Flav. Stay tuned after this news, NPR news break. We'll be talking about that with some public health officials. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Paul Flav, in for David Martin Davies. Now we turn to the very real possibility of a public health crisis as a result of these large numbers crossing the border to our south. The unvaccinated foreign-born crossing the border are raising a lot of concerns with Texas medical professionals. Alexa Uro with the Texas Tribune wrote about it recently. Alexa, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And Dr. Austin King, president of the Texas Medical Association, are you there?
You bet. Here I am.
Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. King. I know you'll have only a few minutes to talk, so I was wondering, you went touring some of these facilities in McAllen and elsewhere. I was wondering what you saw and what your concerns were.
Well, the problem is that these people are coming up from Central America, where there's a lot of endemic different types of diseases there, anywhere from just common scabies to sometimes drug-resistant TB. And these children and mothers are being processed so quickly and then sent out to other parts of the country that there's no real medical screening being performed or immunizations. We have a lot of volunteer physicians on the ground there that will treat people that are obviously sick, but there's nobody that is looking after the 95% of the other people that are coming through to give them a physical exam and to see their immunization and health history and that type of thing. And that's a problem not only from the humanitarian standpoint of treating these people, but also from the public health standpoint of all the different states that they're going to. They're not just staying there in the Valley or even in Texas. They're going off to New York, Illinois, Ohio, and across the country.
Now, the CDC requires individuals who are immigrating to have been vaccinated for mumps, measles, rubella, pertussis, and 8 or so other things. This situation, I'm assuming, is the Wild West.
Yes, yeah. This is, like I say, it's an unknown but potentially a very, very severe public health problem if some of these more serious disease states get through.
And are there any vaccinations that you know of going on at these detention sites or elsewhere?
Not when I was there. Now, I did contact Blue Cross Blue Shield has a van that they've done immunizations with in connection with the Texas Medical Association, and they're thinking about sending a van down there. But these people are coming across hundreds every day, just flooding across, and and it's something that needs to be addressed right now. And either the federal government, since these people going all over the country, should be the ones to do it. But if they can't do it, then the state government needs to step in, at least from an immunization standpoint and a screening standpoint.
And do we have any idea what that would cost?
Not off the top of my head.
I know that you're a doctor, not a mathematician, but
yeah,
but it seems like that would be an order of a scale that would be very, very large.
Yeah, the problem is Catholic Charities has stepped up down there, and they're running a area where these people can get showers and a change of clothes, because they've gone for weeks with just the clothes on their back and no showers, and kind of a rudimentary meal. And then, like I say, volunteer doctors will see the people that are obviously sick, but they go through there in the middle of hours. But the amount of people is so large that they're estimating it's costing them about $5,000 a day just to run this rudimentary type of program.
And that's Catholic Charities, another nonprofit doing the work. Dr. Austin King, thanks for joining us. I know you have to get back to surgery. Hopefully no one's waiting on a table somewhere for you. Dr. King is president of the Texas Medical Association, and we really appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Alexa Ura, I was just wondering, you've been interacting with public health officials in some of these counties. What's the response been from the local level?
So at the local level, particularly in Hidalgo County, they have reported about 5 cases of chickenpox among some of these undocumented immigrants and one concern about a potential tuberculosis case. But aside from that, they don't have a lot of count in terms of the diseases that some of these detainees are carrying. At the state level, public officials with the Department of State Health Services have visited some of these detention centers, particularly in Brownsville and McAllen, and say that there are no sort of health standards at these detention centers. The conditions are unhealthy. There are children in crowded cells, and they're eating, sleeping, and using the bathroom in those same cells with no running water or soap. Children who have head lice and other sort of skin infections are not being separated from the general population. So there are several concerns about the potential for an outbreak if there are any diseases that are being contained within this population. But again, there's no official count yet.
I know that in previous shows we've done on tuberculosis, for instance, many of those folks that came down in this state were foreign-born. Are there public officials, public health officials in other parts of the state that are thinking, okay, I need to really be upping my monitoring game this week or this month or this year as a result of this this surge in people?
You know, not from what we've heard, and the Department of State Health Services does not send out any sort of information to local physicians that we know of. For now, it seems like they're sort of monitoring what's going on here in the state, because at the end of the day, these issues fall upon the federal government to sort of assess and treat some of these detainees who are now being held in our state.
And any ideas? Have you heard from anyone? I know we attempted to contact the CDC and to see what their involvement was with any of these detention centers. They did not get back to us. Do you know if there is any vaccination going on in these federal detention areas?
So state officials that I spoke to said that during their assessments of these two centers in the valley, there is no sort of vaccination testing opportunity. There's no idea whether these kids have vaccinations or not. I spoke to a doctor down in the McAllen area who said he was a volunteer doctor, and he said that some of these individuals actually come in with their vaccination cards, particularly those from El Salvador. But there's really no idea at this point to know who has their vaccinations or not, but they're definitely not getting them at these two centers, according to state officials.
And do we know if I know that the doctor had mentioned Catholic Charities was stepping up in the valley. Do we know if there are any others that have been spurred to action as a result in sending medical efforts, sending medical personnel, sending vaccinations down to the Rio Grande area?
So what nonprofits are doing is they have sort of a makeshift shelter, temporary assistance center, where volunteer doctors are heading there to treat some of these individuals. But from what I've been told, they're mostly working with over-the-counter medicine.
Alexa Ura works for the Texas Tribune. She's a reporter. She's calling us from the Capitol building. I appreciate you coming on the show today, Alexa.
Thanks so much.